Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You can get that app anywhere. You get your favorite apps, your Google Play Store, your Apple App Store. Look for the Odyssey app, big orange background with a white A. You can't miss it. Download it. Once it's there, look for WILK News Radio. Favorite it. That's it. You got us. Hook it up. Works seamlessly with your CarPlay. Anywhere, anytime, you rewind feature, you can go back and pick up where you left off if you run into the store or something. It's a great little thing there. You can also get us on the iHeart Radio platform, so you can check us out there as well. 5:11 here, 81 degrees. Those storms are moving through the area here on this Tuesday, July 8th. It's just supposed to be cloudy once they get through the area. I just checked again. My camera's up at home. The driveway's wet, but doesn't look too bad up there. It's got some check-ins from the Tuckanic area from our pipeline workers, and they said that the storms are moving, the cells are moving through there. So just be careful driving. You know, you could have some heavy downpours. Slow down. No need to rush where you're going. So we talked about this story. We touched on it a little earlier today where this – on Coney Island – a would-be kidnapper grabbed – I thought the boy was 8. It turns out to be 6. Would-be kidnapper grabs a boy, 6, off a Coney Island street as screaming child's parents chase him down in a wild video. And it's truly – you know, the parents were there distracted. You know, there was people all around. I mean, it was a it was a crowded street night in Coney Island. They were just at the fair there on Coney Island. The streets are blocked off so you could walk in the streets. Plenty of law enforcement around. That wasn't there. As a matter of fact, in the background of where this guy snatched this six-year-old, there's a police van parked and dozens of police officers throughout the area. I highly implore you, especially if you have children or grandchildren, to watch the video. Because a couple of things, you know, we're going to point out here. So the brazen would-be kidnapper with a brazenly, bizarrely tall hat briefly scooped up the six-year-old from a busy Coney Island sidewalk Sunday night, only to callously toss him to the ground once the screaming child's parents confronted him, ran at him. Sprinting mom Sharon Robinson, 41, told reporters that her young son's scream alerted her to the nightmarish scene. So until this individual picked up the child and started to walk away, the child thankfully knew enough to scream out, did not freeze, did not panic, but screamed out, which alerted the parents, who immediately rushed the gentleman. He threw the child to the ground. Thankfully, the child, you know, only minor scratches. She said she turns around and sees this man holding my son like a football, a complete stranger, she told the press. If he hadn't have made that loud scream, the man would have taken him and done whatever he wanted with him. Maybe take him under the boardwalk and do who knows what. The 36-year-old creep, identified as Jonathan Rabellino, was charged with assault and attempted kidnapping after police said he grabbed the child just before 10 p.m. near the corner of Stillwell and Surf Avenues. That's right on the beach there, Coney Island Boardwalk. Surf Avenue is the last road before the beach. If you've never been to Coney Island. The alleged failed abduction unfolded after Robinson said they spent the evening at the beach, followed by rides on the Wonder Wheel and the other amusement park attractions. Said he kept running around, so she tried to satisfy his craving for popcorn. You know, you're spending a day. It's Sunday. I know it's 10 o'clock at night, but, you know, school's out. And like I said, you know, it was a crowded Coney Island street. Now there's an alarming video that shows this, so you could find it easy enough. The mother and father rushed the clad in head to toe in black, allegedly pounced on the child as he started trailing behind the mom and dad, scooping him up with one arm. So the child was behind the mom and dad. The mom and dad had their back to him. And just like that, matter of seconds, scoops him up under his arm and starts walking away. But once he spotted the two adults lunging towards him, he threw the boy to the ground and high-stepped it out of there, running across the street. I guess by flipping him down, he must have thought that we were not going to pursue him, but, you know, we did. The video shows both parents chasing Robolino into the street as multiple cars passed through the intersection. The chase ended when the mother pushed the alleged abductor, causing him to fall near one of the local candy shops. She said cops briefly jumped on her until witnesses convinced them that the tall-hatted man was the menace. The man on the ground for 2 minutes without anyone handcuffing him, Robinson said. Police assigned to the nearby post eventually arrested Robolino. The family from Queens complained of minor pain, and he was taken to Coney Island. The child, the six-year-old, was taken to Coney Island Hospital, where he was listed in stable condition. You know, he cried nonstop after the ordeal, even when the ambulance took him away, the mother said. You got to imagine, that's pretty traumatizing for a six-year-old, especially seeing the panic in your parents' eyes, and I can only imagine that panic. But again, one of the things that I saw while watching the video is the mother the entire time had a water bottle in her hand, never dropped it, never threw it down when she even rushed for the abductor of her child. So not to fault her. Again, probably has never been in this situation before, had no idea that she'd ever be in or hope that she'd ever be in this situation. But this day and age, when we see incidents on the subway platforms all the time, when we see, you know, people getting pushed before trains or onto the tracks or just thrown to the ground or assaulted from behind, you know, those punching games where people would come up from behind and just slug you, and it doesn't matter if you're, you know, a woman or a man or older or younger. When you're out in public, especially in places, you need to have your awareness about you. Now, obviously, you can't be looking all around, but you can do your best. You can keep your hands free, not be buried in your cell phone. It's very easy, especially this day and age. Go to any restaurant and you'll see it, especially with the younger crowd. They're always buried in their cell phone. If you're standing on a subway platform, if you're on a crowded street, if you're with your child, you can't be buried in your cell phone. You can't have those things. You know, if you need to look at your phone for something, get your child between your legs and, you know, make sure they're huddled there so you can feel them physically. Get your arm, one arm around them and work your phone with one hand. In this day and age, especially, you know, with this, a matter of a second, this guy scooped up the child and started walking away. Now, obviously, looking at the situation with all the people around there, he wouldn't have gotten far. It appears that this individual, unknown what the motive is, but obviously not working with a full deck. I believe they even took him for an evaluation before taking him to jail. That's not an excuse, though. As parents, as guardians, as our, you know, I don't care if it wasn't the kid or it was your wife or sister or mother. You have to be aware of the situation. And listen, it sucks that you have to think of these things. It sucks that you have to think, all right, you know, we're out in public, we're at this event, you're out to have a good time, you spent the day at the beach with your family, you're going on amusement park rides. You know, what happens if this, what do I do if this happens? And you have to run that scenario through your head. Now, obviously, you don't want to panic your children, but listen, when I used to go to the mall with my kids or daughters when they were younger, I did have that talk with them. We'd sit on the bench and I'd say, okay, you know, if something like this happens, this is what I want you to do. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I want you to do. So they knew. So if something like that did happen, that trigger, that instinct, that short conversation you had would key in. And it's not a panic thing. It's just, I'm sorry. It's part of everyday life today. You know, we see these mass shootings in Philadelphia over the weekend and we see these things going on. You have to have those conversations with your family. You just do. You know, if I'm walking with my wife through, you know, the Viewmont Mall and a large fight breaks out between teens, you know, this is what I want you to do. This is what we're going to do. We're going to back ourselves out of this and not have anything to do with it. One of the bigger things here is the mother never dropped her water bottle. You know, What if this individual was more violent? What if he did not drop the kid without a fight? You want both hands free. You know, listen, I'll take injuries as long as my kid's okay. So be prepared for that. Be prepared for overwhelmingly end that threat, whatever you may have. Look around you. You know, what resources do I have to protect my children? What resources do I have to protect my family, to protect myself? This is, unfortunately part of what could happen out in public now. And even at this stage in my life, working in this very area in Coney Island multiple times, knowing this area very well, it would surprise me to see something like that happen. You know, does this person know this kid? You know, is he part of the family? Is he an older brother or cousin or an uncle screwing around with the parents or trying to scare the kid? This day and age, you don't know, but you have very few times to figure it out real quick before something could happen. You know, what if there was a vehicle there? What if this was more planned? Thankfully, it wasn't. Thankfully, this is just somebody who wasn't all there, who, for whatever reason, decided to target this kid. You know, I saw another video recently where somebody picked up a small kid, like 4 or 5, just picked the kid up and body slammed him and walked away for no reason. You know, that's the potential of what's out there. Thankfully, it's not, an everyday occurrence, but we see these situations every day where these types of things happen. So the moral of the story is just be aware of your surroundings and be prepared to act. And you have to think through that. Planning is the number one thing that you could do for that. So we'll leave it at that. It's coming up on 5:23 here at WILK, time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show. I told you we had some weather moving through our area, and it goes all the way down to the Maryland area. It looks like there are 2 tornado warnings. One of them appears to be confirmed north of Philadelphia near Phoenixville or in Pottstown heading into New Jersey right now. So, like I said, the worst of it looked like it was coming north and south of us here, but we are going to get some heavy downpours or are getting some heavy downpours, so be careful out there. I did just put that story up of the 6-year-old attempted abduction at Coney Island, so you could look at it on my Facebook page, so you could see the video and see what I'm talking about, and just, have a plan. That's the biggest piece of advice for that story, not faulting the parents at all, just learning from it. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to look at these situations and say, here's some advice on how to better handle a situation like that. But understandably, you know, they got their child back safe and sound, so it worked out well. Not criticizing their actions at all, just saying how you could make it safer for your environment, learning from that. So during some meetings, Donald Trump said that the U.S. will be sending more weapons to Ukraine, defensive weapons. They have to be able to defend themselves, is what Donald Trump said. He vowed on Monday to supply Ukraine with defensive weapons after the U.S. paused shipments of certain military firepower. The war-torn nation, we're going to send some more weapons. We have to, Trump told reporters at the White House ahead of a private dinner with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. They've been able to defend themselves, the president said of Ukraine, which has been grappling with the onslaught of Russian drone attacks in recent days, targeting the capital city of Kyiv and its civilian population. They're getting hit very hard, Trump continued. They're getting hit very hard. We're going to have to send more weapons. Defensive weapons primarily, the commander-in-chief noted, but they're getting hit very, very hard. So many people are dying in that mess, president told Ukrainian counterpart Vladimir Zelensky in a Friday phone call that he did not order the Pentagon to stop the weapons delivery. Nearly a week after it halted delivery of some air defense missiles, precision-guided artillery, and other weapons bound for Ukraine over concerns that the U.S. stockpiles were dropping too low. Now that that has been checked, Patriot air defense systems, 155-millimeter artillery rounds, guided missile launch, rocket systems, Stingers, AIM-7s, and Hellfire missiles are among the munitions that should see recent delivery. So that was at a meeting just before a dinner with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. And it's interesting because I posted a story earlier before my show today where ABC News, it's interesting how they refer to the Israeli hostages that are being held by Hamas as detainees. I guess that's one way of saying hostage, right? They're talking about the ceasefire deal. This is coming direct from ABC News, and I put this quote and snapshot on my Facebook page. The deal on the table would see 10 living hostages, about half of the total amount of detainees believed to be alive in Gaza, and the remains of 18 more returned to Israel in 5 separate releases in exchange for a 60-day ceasefire. Could you imagine calling abducted hostages being held for a year and a half detainees? That's how bad ABC News wants to downplay the savages of Hamas, holding hostages and holding dead bodies for over a year. It's just disgraceful. It truly is. It's disgusting every time you read something like that and how they try and downplay the narrative to fit. You know, we don't want to offend anyone, so we're going to call them detainees. Not what they are, hostages. Some, including Americans. It's 5:31 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. So at long last, the TSA is rumored to roll back the dreaded security checkpoint rule of having to take off your shoes. It's been rated as one of the most hated airport security rules as of July 7th, according to an internal memo reported by numerous travel industry sources. Passengers will no longer be required to remove their shoes at agency checkpoints. The documents cited technological advancements and reevaluation of potential threats as deciding factors in the shoe statute's reversal. According to reports, the change is in fact being rolled out at airports across the country today, according to aviation insiders. Travelers who are cleared for TSA pre-checked have long been able to enjoy not walking on a filthy airport floor in stocking feet, but now the rest of us will be able to experience that sensation. For the first time since the shoe bomber, Richard Reed, smuggled explosives back in 2001, children under 12 and travelers above 75 were also previously exempt, the widely detested decree. There are said to be caveats, however. Passengers must be in the possession of an approved, now required real ID and must not require special screening. A spokesperson for the agency would not confirm the rumors, though. TSA and the Department of Homeland Security are always exploring new and innovative ways to enhance the passenger experience and our strong security posture. Any potential updates to our security process will be issued through official channels, they told the media. So this is coming from insiders, but it is not coming from the TSA themselves. So I guess the next time you go through, you'll have to see and let us know. I'm not sure where I stand on this, especially with the amount of unknown individuals in our nation. Is this a good time to do it? Now, I get technological advances and enhanced screening systems that are out there. Is there really a need for it? I hope not. But again, I really never saw it as a major inconvenience. Is it inconvenient? Sure. Especially, and you listen, anytime I had to travel on a plane, I wore slip-on and off shoes or, you know, my Speeries or something I could easily get on and off. I wasn't wearing my cowboy boots. I was bringing them in my check bag if I was bringing cowboy boots or anything like that. So, you know, I wore what I needed to make it as convenient as possible. So it was really never a huge inconvenience for me. Others, I'm sure it is. You know, if you were going somewhere dressed in a suit and you had to untie your shoes and get them off and walk through in your dress socks, yeah, I could see it being that way, especially for a lot of business travelers, day travelers, and such like that. It's just we're talking millions of unknown individuals who've entered this nation. We've seen the issues on flights with just unruly passengers. Is it a time that we want to stop this. I don't know if I'm sold on it, but I'll let the experts in that field make that decision. And again, nothing official has come from the TSA. It seems to be from agency insiders. So until an official announcement is made, I guess we'll find out the next time you go through a security checkpoint. Right? It's 5:40 here at WILK, time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Here's the Storm Tracker 16 forecast from meteorologist Anthony Bordurano. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 67. Wednesday, sunny with slight chance of a shower, high of 88. Thursday, clouds with some sun, a chance of thunderstorms, high of 86. It's currently 80 degrees here at 5:40 at your official weather station, WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show. As we start to wind things down here, it is 5:45, 79 degrees on this Tuesday, July 8th, 2025. Let's go to the phone. We have Joe from Berwick. Joe.
Yes. Hello, Rob. Thanks for having me on. I tried explaining this earlier on the other Cordaro show, and we had a really bad connection. So, really interesting front page of my newspaper just this morning and over the weekend, Rob. We had four ICE agents show up in a little town of Bloomsburg, right? And all they did was just talk to one individual. That's all it was reported that they did. And yet, for the first time in years, our local parks and swimming holes were able to be open for the local people and taxpayers to enjoy on the holiday, because previously they had to be closed. Now, why did they have to be closed? Well, starting about 4 years ago, they had real problems with people coming in. It seemed it was mostly New Jersey license plate, and the overwhelming majority of them were Hispanic, Spanish people, speaking people. And they were coming in for just a day to avail themselves of our local parks and our local swimming holes, and they were literally trashing the place. I mean, like, burning stuff, just destroying stuff, defecating all over. It was awful. And some of these little parks were places where people donated land and families, you know, donated time, and they made these beautiful little parks and swimming holes in these creeks. And they were trash, no god awful, that they said, well, listen, we're going to have to close them as the only way to stop this, because obviously there was no other recourse for them. And of course, our local Democrat mayor in Bloomsburg, well, he was confronted on this. He basically said, oh, I'm tired of hearing about them, and basically accusing the people who brought these complaints to him of being racist. So, lo and behold, after all this, and then we go to the election, and we all know what happened, all of a sudden, for the first time in 4 years, these little parks and swimming holes can actually be open to the public who pay taxes, you know, to support these things and volunteer, whatnot, and they actually got to enjoy them now this past 4th of July. But once again, the front page of our paper this morning, the local Democrat mayor from Bloomsburg accusing the ICE agents of, what was the stupid word he used? I forget what he said, but he basically accused them of some kind of, you know, terrorism type thing, you know, and said what they were doing was awful. And yet here was the person who, when confronted with, why can't you keep our local resources and our local, you know, places clean and safe and not getting trash, he didn't want to hear it because he thought people were being prejudiced by expecting that.
Well, what's the mayor's excuse if that was the causation, and what was the excuse for him all of a sudden to have these assets open again?
Well, again, he... If for his
were they
part,
open and just in not the, usable, or they were closed and well, now they're open?
Well, they for his part, for Bloomsburg, they never actually shut down their swimming holes because they were on private property, but they were open to the public. But the complaint was to them is that every time after these individuals came in, the place was absolutely trashed and unusable, and they had to haul out, you know, bags of trash and feces and everything else. Now, the other places, places in Benton and like the private privately owned park open to the public outside Light Street, they were under different management, and they decided to close because they just couldn't handle the influx of people and didn't have the kind of resources on hand to clean up afterwards. It was a real burden to them. But the town of Bloomsburg, they would send their own workers in to clean up after these weekends, and the place got trashed. But the people like myself were going and saying to him, "Hey, listen, that's not good enough. You need to contact whomever may be involved here," because he was saying, "Oh, well, there's different agencies involved, the Fish Commission and all that." And our then response to him was, "Well, then get them involved. Do whatever you have to do and start getting people charged and let there be some kind of consequence, so that, because in the age of social media, you hold somebody accountable, somebody gets a fine, gets arrested for doing something, it's going to stop." And that's what seemed to happen here, was that as soon as the ICE agents showed up this weekend and it was known that they were there, you know, word got around, and that was it. None of these people came in, and everything was relatively peaceful. But the word he used was hijacking. He came out in our local paper and said, "Oh, ICE is hijacking people."
Hmm. Sounds like the typical talking points.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think it's too difficult to have a county residency requirement for these places. I know plenty of other states that do it, plenty of other entities that do it. You know, the enforcement mechanism needs to be there, but, you know, why not pass an ordinance to where these facilities are only open to county residents?
Yeah. Well, again, that could have been done. And if there had been some coordination, again, especially from Bloomsburg, which is the biggest, you know, the only town in Pennsylvania they call it, but they have a council and a mayor, and all of these other small outlying areas just have, like, you know, small councils because they're a lot smaller population. If there had been some leadership there, that could have taken place. But the immediate response was from the mayor was, "Oh, I'm tired of hearing about those people." And you know, he framed the entire thing in such a way as the people who brought the complaint and wanted something done were being prejudiced. And his words were, "We don't want anyone to feel unwelcome." And that's something I heard him say himself at one of the meetings I attended.
Well, that's why if you leave it open or pass an ordinance to where it's only open for county or township residents, you're not picking anybody out. You're making it for the asset for the people who actually paid for it in tax bases using it. You know, it's pretty straightforward. So that doesn't discriminate against any demographic. It just says, hey, you have to be a resident of the county or resident of the township or the city of Bloomsburg to use this amenity. And many other places do that.
Well, and sure, something like that, you know, may have eventually come about, but it's just interesting how all it took was just four ICE agents showing up, and this problem, which has been going on for like 4 years now, it's just four ICE agents in town one day, and it problem solved. You know, nothing happened at all like that over the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, for the one incident, I don't know if I would correlate it all to that, but if it's that's what the people there that live there think, and it's worked out for them, well, that's one of the benefits of ICE operations throughout the county.
Sure. Well, I think it's just a microcosm of what's been going on nationwide, because you know yourself, in some of the other areas, like you said, up in New York, what's been happening up there, and people getting held up in Central Park by people who are staying for, you know, rent-free in their hotels, and just all over the country, you've seen real issues there where there's, you know, a total disruption in the lives of the people who actually live there.
Yeah, and for politicians to turn a blind eye just goes to show the residents that they're electing the wrong politicians. So hopefully they wake up. If not, this is what they're going to get stuck with, and it's going to grow even more. Joe, I appreciate you checking in.
Yep, thank you, Rob.
Thank you. Let me go to the phone. We have Josh from Blakely. Josh.
Rob, yes, hello. Thank you.
All right.
I'm sorry to follow up on the other gentleman's conversation. It reminds me of what I recently experienced at the Falls, Pennsylvania Fish and Commission boat launch on the Susquehanna River in Falls, just outside of Wilkes-Barre, basically. And, you know, it's Pennsylvania Fish and Boat Commission launch. You launch your boat there, you know, do some fishing from shore maybe if you're not in the way. But literally the place was shut down.
Sorry about that, Josh. We had an EAS warning come through. So you're talking about the boat launch up in Falls, the boat Fish and Boat Commission boat launch. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Pennsylvania Fish and Commission boat launch in Falls, Pennsylvania, just outside of Wilkes-Barre. You know, you're supposed to go there and maybe fish from shore or launch a boat, but it reminds me of what the gentleman was speaking of, where it was literally overrun by hundreds of people having parties and so on and so forth. When I, to the best of my knowledge, that is intended for people that have boat registrations, fishing licenses, so on and so forth. It did get shut down for a short period of time by the Pennsylvania Fish and Boat Commission. But from what I understand, there was a lot of pushback from local residents, and maybe they have increased patrols, police patrols, and Fish and Boat Commission and DCNR patrols to keep it the way it was intended to be, as opposed to a party area, you know, a place to launch a boat and maybe go fishing.
Yeah, no doubt. I would reach out to the Fish and Boat Commission if I were you. That their officers are usually very very reactive to those types of things. Let them know and see what plan they have in place to make sure it's open for that. That's what your licenses are for. That's what you're paying for. That's why you get, you know, your boat stickers on your vehicle, on your boats. So I would call them. They're pretty responsive to those types of things, but I appreciate you calling. Let us know about it, Josh.
Yes, sir. I appreciate your time as well. Just the previous caller reminded me, and I just wanted to share that, and I thank you for your time.
Yeah, no doubt at all. And it's what people are dealing with out there. So, you know, there's a valid complaint here that these areas from outsiders, depending on, it doesn't matter who they are. You know, when I moved here and found my house up where I lived, I drew a bubble to where the New Yorkers went, and I lived half an hour outside of that. And listen, I'm someone who was born and raised in New York City. But I've lived here for 22 years now, and I consider myself here. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to come here and assimilate to here and live the country life and the rural life, and that's what I've done. It's 5:57 here at WILK. We'll be back to close out the show. Well, that's it for the Rob O'Donnell Show today on WILK News Radio. Hopefully the weather doesn't cause you any issues today, but just know it is in the area. You might have some heavy downpours, but it should be moving out. I believe by 8 o'clock they said it should be gone totally and just some clouds tonight. But, you know, we deal with what we have to deal with. Let me give you a couple seconds here. Let me just check the radar real quick to see if I can give anyone driving around a heads up if you're listening. Actually, it's now east of Scranton. Looks like Jessup, Archibald, German, it's moving through your area now up north. We're pretty much in the clear here. Most of it's south of us. It's about to hit Trenton, New Jersey, Philadelphia, Wilmington, Delaware. The northern tier, Susquehanna County and Wyoming County, is going to get a little bit more of it, but it should be out of our area in no time. Just be careful. You will have some downpours. 6 o'clock here at WILK. See you tomorrow.